Welcome to Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, the podcast that gives you an unfiltered behind-the-scenes look at what it's really like being a woman in the middle who's over 50 and following her entrepreneurial dreams. Grab a superhero cape, girlfriend, because you deserve one. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Midlife Mentor, Susie Rosenstein, and I am excited to inspire you with interviews that feature all of this midlife amazingness. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the show. We have another really exciting interview ahead of us today about rising strong in business. Today, you're going to be meeting CL Stevens, a woman in the middle entrepreneur who's focusing on multifamily real estate as a way to build passive and residual income. Welcome to the show, CL. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Susie. I'm happy to be here.
I am so happy to see you here too. I'm really curious about what you're doing. I can't wait to hear more. I know we're going to have a great conversation about your midlife entrepreneur story. We're going to be talking about your business and what's going really well, and also what midlife issues might be getting in your way to some extent. They might be challenging for you in your life as well as being a business owner. So let's get started with asking how old you are, how long you've been an entrepreneur, a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey, and of course, what it is that you do. Take it away.
Thank you. I am 53 and I have been in business for, ever since I was in my 20s or even before then. I was started, you know, working on my own when I was 14. And
I love that.
And now I'm doing multifamily. But prior to that, my first kind of real foray into business was I started a fitness business. Way back in the 80s, really got it going though in the 90s.
Wow, that's Jane Fonda territory, right?
I know it is.
We were all watching the wasn't she on TV at that point? I remember watching it on TV, or was it videos? I don't remember that part.
Videos. I just remember she was like, she's still amazing today, but I remember, yeah.
She really changed everything. With those videos, and she looked so great.
Yeah, she did. And she still looks amazing.
Oh, for sure. Oh my gosh. So good. Anyway, sorry about diverting over there, but as soon as you said in the 80s and fitness, she popped into my mind.
Yeah. How can you help it?
So iconic. Okay. So I understand that you teach some yoga too.
I do. Yeah, actually, I still teach yoga. And I do it on a volunteer basis on an app. And I usually donate to some kind of charity. So today and this last couple months, we've been donating to the bears, you know, that living in Whistler, we see bears all the time.
Oh, you mean the bears? Like the furry bears.
It's a bear charity. Yeah. Yeah. And there was actually a grizzly bear a couple weeks ago. And then again, just last week. So they're coming into the valley and getting berries and you know, we need to protect them. So yeah, I teach yoga still. I love it.
That's so interesting. You teach on an app and you're donating to the bears. You know, it's so important to remember that we don't all live in a city. So you've got bears walking around. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I have to say, I'm a little bit afraid of bears, but that's another story. I'm thinking of a very funny thing. You are too. Something very funny happened when I was trying to protect my children from bears in a pop-up tent trailer. I remember, I heard something when we were sleeping. The kids were small. And I thought, that's definitely a bear. Like we were in Northern Ontario when it happened. So what did I do? I stood up, I grabbed a flip-flop and a spray bottle of Windex, and I was going to save my family. That's all I could find. And I stood frozen in fear for a good hour and a half.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Nothing happened.
Yeah. If they're coming after the food, then you kind of like got to be on guard. But we see them here and we walk by them, you know, just because they're kind of in the town. But the grizzly, I'm not walking by the grizzly.
No. Oh, my gosh. Well, that is a very interesting part of your life. Okay. Now, tell me what happened when you were 30, because you definitely had some big issues to deal with that led to your business direction.
Yeah. So when I was 30, prior to that, I was teaching, that was back in the, like, I guess, late 90s. I was teaching Pilates and yoga and dance. And I had this whole business that was all around me. And I was a personal trainer and I was very, very busy and in demand, especially with the Pilates, because it was kind of new on the scene back then. Yeah. And I ended up becoming paralyzed. Within a week, I was completely paralyzed on my left side and I thought I'd had a stroke and couldn't figure it out for what felt like forever. It ended up probably being only a month or something. I don't know, but that's a long time anyway.
Only a month? Yeah.
Yeah. And I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Wow. So my whole business came to a screeching stop. And that's when I was still getting calls, you know, can you create a class here and can you do this there? And so I just started to contract out instructors, which is something I had kind of wondered if I could do, but didn't really know how to go about doing it. And it was out of necessity that I did it. And it was really great because my business grew and grew and grew. And then I got better and I was able to focus on other things while my business was running.
That is fascinating. Now, why do you think you always wondered if that was something you could do?
Well, I was, you know, when I was young, I was always reading books on entrepreneurship and, you know, retiring early and, you know, all these things, but I didn't really know how to do it. And I thought as a personal trainer, how can I duplicate myself? Really? I guess I could have opened a gym, but I didn't have the finances. So at that time, I was in the community centers in Vancouver. We have tons of community centers and there were lots of opportunities to do classes. So I was getting lots of calls. So I would just contract the instructors out. But I think I didn't know that it was really possible, but I had wanted to find a way to create a business without taking a huge risk. You know, like opening a restaurant wasn't for me.
Wow. I love that you were, as a young woman, that you were reading, you were doing a lot of reading about how to be an entrepreneur and how to retire early. Did you have people in your family who were entrepreneurs?
No, both of my parents weren't, but my mom had a friend, a close friend, and she at one point was a nutritionist. And, you know, I think she was probably in her early 30s, and she all of a sudden moved from the small town in BC out to the East Coast and open up this business that was completely unrelated to nutrition. It was, I guess, kind of like a WeWork, you know, what a WeWork is, where they've got, like, yeah. So it was a WeWork back in the late 80s, I think, that style of thing. And, you know, she was just always kind of in our ears about, and we saw what she was doing and the lifestyle that she was able to have because of that and the investments that she was making. And so I think that is probably a lot of what it had to do with, because my mom was a secretary and my dad was a high school principal. And, you know, they built their house, but that was about as entrepreneurial as they got.
Fascinating. I love hearing stories about where people get ideas. And so leaning into this direction didn't feel too risky for you.
No, it didn't feel risky. It felt necessary at the time that it happened. Yeah.
So all the while you were thinking, okay, I got to figure out this passive income and maybe even residual income and how that might work for me. So what happened next?
Well, I actually met somebody through my personal training who was involved in a business that gave me a huge opportunity to step into sales, which created a really nice, you know, you build it. And then it kind of runs on its own. So I was seeing this beautiful residual income come in because of that. And from there, I was able to increase my real estate investments because my first business was able to help me purchase. I was able to purchase a couple condos in Vancouver. And then I got this second gig going that created more income that I was able to do it again. And then I was able to start when, you know, the 2008 crisis hit. And the US had all those issues. It was like easy picking, right? For people who had funds and had a little bit of, they weren't afraid to take a risk. I wasn't afraid to take a risk. At that point, you know, after I lost my health, there's so many things that happened. I think about, you know, the time that I was in Mexico in 2014, and I was in a cartel gun battle where I literally thought I was going to die. No kidding, no joke. And I was like, okay, well, now what am I going to do? So I remember from Mexico, I started looking for properties to buy in Arizona to fix and flip. And at that point, I was like, I really feel like I have nothing to lose and I'd like a project and I'd like to get out of Mexico because I was going to be there for 6 weeks. Just,
oh my gosh. If you're listening right now, you should see my face.
I think I'm all over the place with my story.
Y'all just casually says, yeah, I was in a shootout. Okay. I don't think anybody else has said that on my podcast yet.
That's probably the first.
Well, thank God you're okay. Now, do you sell real estate as well?
No, I don't. No, okay. I've thought of it before, but you know, that's kind of like buying yourself a job, really. The real estate agents that I know and that have taken me around, I think, oh gosh, I wouldn't want to have to work so hard and be on the beck and call. But
not, you know, for you. Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like you were getting kind of excited about this potential. You had dipped your toe into the real estate market. And it's a pretty big dip in Vancouver, one of the most expensive places to live in Canada. But you got going and then you kept building and became pretty focused on doing that. That's what it sounds like at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my fitness business, I kind of stepped away from that. My sales business, I stepped away from that. And then I just kind of, you know, enjoyed a couple of years of doing a little bit of overseeing of the properties. I have people who manage them, but, you know, just making sure the assets were doing what they were supposed to do. And then now I'm just moving back into it. I'm taking a big step and I'm diving in deep in a different way than I was before.
Okay, let's hold on to that for a second, because where did betrayal come into all of this?
Yeah, that's why I'm diving in deep. You know, I had built all of what I've created. A lot stemmed from fear in the beginning, right? Like the fear of not being able to support myself, not being able to work. And my mom always said to me, never rely on a man for money. Don't ever expect, you know, that someone's going to save you. And so when I got sick, I thought, holy moly, like I better figure something out and fast. So that was the fitness business and then the sales business and then the real estate all kind of dovetailed in together. And at the time, I had met a friend. We became friends through business networking. And then we started dating. And then we started traveling together. And then we started living together. And I've just finished a huge 5-year battle because the Canadian laws in British Columbia, probably different than they are in Ontario or elsewhere, but they allow somebody to grab half of everything you have after 2 years of being together.
So you mean common law?
Yeah, common law. Yeah. So I have just gone through a huge battle in the courts to try and save my assets. But unfortunately, it, you know, it's kind of like, you know, after a while, you're like, why did I work so hard to save all that when in the end, you know what the law is anyway. So I lost a whole bunch. And now I'm in the situation at 53 years old, thinking, oh, I was doing so well. And I was, you know, doing almost all the right things when, you know, I think about, well, I guess I probably could have done some things a bit better, but I was doing almost all the right things to really set myself up. And now, if I want to get back to where I was, I have to dig deep and I have to go for it. So I'm making some lemon loaf and some lemonade and some, I don't know, limoncello out of all those lemons I've been dealt recently.
Oh my gosh, I love your spirit. And any reference to lemons make me happy. I even have lemons in my water right now as we speak. I love lemons. Wow. Well, you've been through a lot. So tell me what diving deep means to you right now.
Yeah, diving deep. Well, I really, right now, back a couple years in Arizona, I bought a small multifamily property by myself. And it's done very well for me. And I really enjoyed it. But I kind of got stuck at the point where I couldn't do it on my own anymore. You know, like you can only buy so much with your own money. You can only do so much as one person who's hiring a couple people to oversee different things. So I'm now partnering with people and I'm going into multifamily investing where I'm buying large apartment buildings and helping other people who want to invest but don't have the time. So I have a lot of really amazing girlfriends. And, you know, it's funny how sometimes people think, well, you look like you've got it together. Looks like things are going pretty well for you. And sometimes I laugh because I'm still hearing this from my friends who know what I've been going through. And I think, you guys. But I have some really amazing female friends who kill it with what they're doing. Like they are the top of their professions, but they don't have the time. And that to me is so important because when I lost my health, you know, I would have given anything to have had my health back. And it almost makes me tear up sometimes, you know, when I think about it, like when you lose your health, you lose so much. So, you know, money is important, but it's not everything. But when you have money and you have good health, then you've got it, you know, really dialed in. There's other things too, but a lot of my girlfriends, they're like, wow, I wish I had the time freedom that you have. And I wish I could go on vacations like you go on or work from wherever you're working from. And so I want to help not only my girlfriends, but other women who are interested, but maybe just don't have the time, the inclination, or like myself, when it comes to things like stocks and bonds, I have no idea about any of that, right? So some people are like that with real estate.
Right.
So that's what I'm doing.
So you're helping who? Who are these women? Anybody who wants to invest?
Anybody who wants to invest. I'm doing kind of joint venturing in a way, but really it's more like a syndication of real estate. So there's going to be lots of different investors bringing different amounts of money. And I'm looking for the best deal that we can get and something that we can hold for 3 to 5 years and see grow and everybody benefits and we're all happy.
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, is this a thing that's commonly done or did you kind of create this business model? I don't know anything about
it. No, I didn't create the business model. It's, I don't know if one would say it's commonly done. It's not unusual. That's for sure. It's not unusual. I guess it's one of those things that sometimes people just don't know about. Because when we're talking about real estate, a lot of the times we're thinking of those fix and flip shows that we see on TV that are so popular. Like nobody's going to get excited about a whole bunch of people buying one apartment complex and that'd be it, I guess. But, you know, fix and flip is where all the juicy stuff is. But yeah, it's something that is done.
Wow, it's really interesting. Now, you know, I like to dive deep into some of these midlife issues and how they are really affecting your ability to run your business. And of course, what you shared about your health is something that can really get in the way. You also mentioned in your application that your parents died within 5 months of one another. Mm-hmm. Tell me what that was like for you as you were going through so much.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That was hard. I'm going to start to cry.
It sounds like it was really, really hard. I'm so sorry.
It was hard because, my mom was really peppy. So my dad had Alzheimer's and dementia. And we knew that he was going down, you know, you can tell, right? But my mom, she had such a joie de vivre and she was a caregiver and he went into the home. And then when he died, she was talking about going to Europe again and taking dance classes and getting an electric bike and moving into the town where, you know, they lived on 5 acres. And then all of a sudden, like 2.5, 3 months after he died, she was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer and she was gone in 2 months.
Oh my God. So
it was shocking. But, you know, the thing is, and I was going through this lawsuit at the time and my partner that I was with was very, very ill. He was also not doing well. And so it was a lot, but I had a brother who was extremely supportive. So I wasn't doing it on my own. And I had friends who, you know, really stepped up just with, you know, their love and their support. So it wasn't easy, but we all got through it because what else can you do?
Well, there are lots of things you can do. And one of those options is that you just don't manage it that well.
Yeah.
So you really somehow you pulled it together in a very, very difficult time. You're very resilient. And that's probably, that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, I guess, you know, I think about all the things that I've been through and, you know, the MS and the struggle with that. And then my parents dying and this 5-year battle with this guy. And, you know, I feel like it's all been for a reason, because if I don't think it, if I don't think that way, you know, it's going to be hard, right? So that's why with what I'm doing now, I have to, for my own healing, I think I have to make this into a huge success for myself, because if I don't, what am I going to do anyway?
You know, well, your mindset's beautiful on this topic. I love the way you're thinking about it and helping women, and your observation that your amazing, successful friends don't really appreciate or really understand what else is possible the way you're showing them. Because, you know, traditional opportunities, we're so familiar with them, especially we were all, most of us were brought up to be good girls, and you do this, this, or this, and you don't do anything too risky or crazy. And, you know, watching you from the sidelines, you're doing lots of different things. You're overcoming huge amounts of adversity, and you have a life that is enviable to many, I would imagine, who feel very locked in without flexibility.
Yeah.
Well, even with all the hardships, nobody's envying that. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah. You know, I was saying just the other day that when I was in my 20s, you know, I didn't have it together. Like, I look at some people in their 20s now and I'm like, wow, you are amazing at 25. At 25, I remember, I think it was 23. I was at dinner with my family at Christmas, and my uncle turned to me and he said, "So, you're almost done university. What are you going to do with your life?" And I burst into tears and ran from the table and locked myself in the bathroom. And I was like, "Oh my God, I have no idea what I'm doing." So then I got back to Vancouver and I applied to go on a year exchange to France, even though I had actually already graduated. I extended by another year so I could, you know, because everyone's like, "Well, you should travel because you'll figure it out when you travel."
Well, some people figure it out when they travel, yeah. But yeah. I don't know. Like, you seem to have really figured a lot of things out, which is so exciting. Now, what have you noticed about being an older woman and being an entrepreneur who is taking risks and doing things that are a little not as traditional as what many people are doing?
Yeah. I feel like because I'm older, but I feel that a lot of the things that have happened in my past that haven't broke me, I understand that things are always going to change, and they can change for the better or they can change for the worse, but it's how you deal with the things that makes a difference. And so I really, in terms of ageism or anything like that, I haven't really experienced that much at all in what I'm doing. I have experienced more about being a woman sometimes than, you know, ageism. But I also think a lot of the times people think I'm younger than I am. So maybe that's part of not experiencing that yet. I don't know.
One thing you mentioned that I think is that might be surprising, please tell me if it is or not, is this sense of urgency that you're dealing with because of the loss with that legal battle.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there is a sense of urgency. And sometimes I was at the gym this morning and I try not to think about it too much, but I listened to these podcasts. I was listening to your podcast and I was listening to this Dr. Mindy. I can't remember. I just found her recently. Anyway, I was listening to her and she was interviewing this doctor who's 71 years old, and he sounded like he was in his 50s. And I'm sitting there lifting my weights and I was like, holy bleep. I'm all like, I don't know how many years away I am from 70, like 17 years away from 70. And then I go back and I think, you know, 17 years ago, how old was I and how fast did that go? Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sometimes I try not to think about it, but it is there.
Yeah. It's very common because we start to just think about wasting time, about how much time flies. The milestone birthdays can throw you for a loop. And especially you have income goals that are very specific now because of your experience. I don't know if they were specific before, but it's kind of motivated from a different place, I would imagine.
it is motivated from a different place. And I felt like I was set before. I was set. And so in a way, if I did nothing, I would still be okay. I would still have a roof over my head. I would still be able to eat food. I'd still be able to go on a vacation. I would be okay. So sometimes I wonder, you know, how much of it is ego-driven and how much of it is just, you know, wanting to have something new to do. And that's why it's important for me to include other people in the journey, you know, like my girlfriends or other women. And, you know, men are welcome too, but I think about women because they do so much. Like, I never had kids, but, you know, these people, they have kids and they have jobs and they're doing so much. I just want to be able to, you know, take the ride with some other amazing people.
Building community. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, it's a really beautiful thing. So what would you say your main focus is right now in your business?
My main focus is acquiring property. So I'm working with a team of people and we all have different jobs. So mine is acquiring and raising capital. That's my focus. And so by the end of this year, where are we? We're June. Yeah. So the end of this year, my goal is to have 100 doors, new doors.
What do you mean doors?
So that would be like an apartment complex that has 100 doors.
Oh, you mentioned the funniest things. We got bears. We got doors. I don't know what you're talking about. I need to ask more questions.
Sorry. I'm talking the lingo, the boots on the ground and all that stuff that people say. Yeah. So 100 units of an apartment building or more.
I'm with you. I ask a good question. I can figure it out.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So good. Okay. So what would you say is your best advice to somebody who has a lot of adversity, like not the same thing that you dealt with, but something that's a lot to handle?
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about this the other day because I was having a really hard time the other day. And I thought, oh, you know, I know that there's people who are experiencing a lot worse than what I've gone through. They're experiencing, you know, all of it at the same time. You know, I was coming home from the judgment that I got and I was just kind of numb. And I thought, you know, but at least I'm not worried about who's going to take me to chemotherapy tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
So I think one of the big things is surrounding yourself, like you said, with community, with people who support you and love you. And if that's not anybody in your life, because I know sometimes people don't have that. Yeah. You know, I'm really lucky. I have a supportive brother. I have a really close friend who, you know, is always there for me. And I've got other friends who are busy, but they've still, you know, I call them, they're there. Not everybody has that. So, you know, I guess finding somebody, a counselor or somebody if they need it. But for me, that's what's been really important is to have that community and knowing that people have my back.
You know what, CL, I know what you mean. I have to say, I've been in this space now working with midlife women for 10 years. And I didn't fully appreciate the community piece when I first got started, but it kept coming up. So it shows up in so many different ways. Even if you're not an entrepreneur, there's friends. The whole friend thing changes so much as we age. And then as an entrepreneur, finding community, creating community, if you don't have the community and the people surrounding yourself with people who have your own back. And actually that insight is really what influenced the direction of my business to include a group coaching the way I do that really focuses on community building and not just group coaching, but also community building. We do a few other things that have to do with just getting to know people and trust people and grow together. So you're right. It's so important. And so many people don't have it and don't realize right away that it's our responsibility to create what it is that we need, to go after what it is that we need, right? So if you don't have it, you can find a place that you fit and you can also build one yourself.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, community. And to create a community like you're doing for your group coaching, that's really cool.
Thank you. It's been really rewarding and fun and has been creative. Because once you're with all these other amazing women, there's so many ideas and so many ways to connect that you can't help but have new ideas yourself. And for me, just I continue to try to make it interesting and uniquely us. Mm-hmm. And as an entrepreneur, it's fun because you can really create businesses that reflect things that you're actually excited about. It's not it's not just widgets, right?
Yeah. That's so neat.
It's not just widgets. Okay. So how can people best get a hold of you?
They can find me on my website at www.pinkskyenterprises.com and my email info at pinkskyenterprises.com.
Perfect. CL, you're amazing. I was very excited to meet you when I read your application. And I really just want to thank you for taking the time from your day and your busy career and business and just sharing all this. I really appreciate your resilience, your creativity, and your guts to go after the kind of success that you're craving. So happy to have met you.
Thank you. It's been so nice to meet you too.
Amazing. Well, who knows? We never know when our roads will pass again. Our paths will cross for sure. Okay, that is it for now. If you're listening and loving what you hear, please like and subscribe. Reviews are great too and much appreciated. And if you're a woman in the middle who's 50 or over and an entrepreneur and would also like to come on the show, please go to www.midlifeinterviews.com and fill out an application. We'd love to have you on to share your story. Thanks so much for listening. It's never too late for you to put yourself on your agenda. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you again soon. Now, real quick before we say goodbye, if you are connecting with the show, I'd love to invite you to a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's my laser-focused coaching call that will help you get clear about what's getting in your way as a woman in the middle entrepreneur and confident about your next steps to more happiness in your next chapter. Head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. Talk to you soon.